You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Baldy's Breakdowns, the podcast, a radio.com sports original.
Welcome to the latest edition of Baldy's Breakdowns here on radio.com. I am Jason Lockenfora at Jason Lockenfora, and I have the pleasure, as always, to be joined by my main man, Brian Baldinger at Baldy NFL. And we have made it through the championship games. We are on the precipice of the Super Bowl, the NFLPA, all the players, coaches, GMs, trainers, everybody involved in this massive undertaking has managed to help us reach a point where we have a Super Bowl for the ages upon us. We had an amazing weekend of championship football, Baldy, and we've got a lot to go over here as we get ready to, unfortunately, transfer into the offseason part of this podcast with just one more game to savor.
Well, you know, it's only two are going to be left standing. And so, I mean, we can look at what Buffalo did and what Green Bay did, and we will. But, you know, you have to just always tip your hat to the two teams that are standing right now. And, you know, certainly what Tampa did and what defensively, how they performed and all the plays that they made. And then certainly when you look at everything that Kansas City has done from the start of this season, from the end of last season to the start of this season, the whole thing. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just thank goodness the league has Patrick Mahomes, because he makes everybody better. He makes everybody better, makes everybody feel better about the game, about the sport, about, you know, the crazy world we're in right now. It's just he's just amazing to watch. So, look, I mean, you got Mahomes on one side, and you got the goat on the other side, and you got the baby goat and the goat. I mean, it's going to be a million different storylines, but this is great. I mean, somehow we got here, Jason. I don't know. Man. You probably already know, like, the number of tests that have been administered.
It's ridiculous.
You know, it's in the hundreds of thousands, I'm sure. So, I mean, here we are. So it's fantastic. And, you know, I was just reading yesterday, Jason, that none of the teams are going until at least Friday. I know the Chiefs aren't going until the day before the game. Yes. So, and I understand all of it, but I mean, everybody has had a sacrifice this year, so it won't feel like any kind of a normal Super Bowl, but we're going to have a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Once they kick it off, Baldy, it's going to be an adrenaline rush. It's going to be historic. It just really blows my mind that you've got this guy who's been in 10 of these and three after the age of 40. And you've got this other kid who's 25, who's been a 3-year starter, Baldy, who knows nothing but hosting the championship game in his stadium. And they're going to meet in this crazy COVID season. It's like a Hollywood thing. You couldn't script it. It doesn't sound real, yet here we are.
Yeah. No, you're right. And, just going to Mahomes for a sec, you know, like Mecole Hardman fumbles that punt, you know, or muffs the punt, and, you know, it leads to a score. And next thing you look up and Kansas City's down 9-0, and you go, oh, the Chiefs got him right where they want him, you know. But and then you know Mecole Hardman feels bad. When it happened, I said, they're going to need this kid. He's going to make some plays. So I hope he doesn't stay in a funk too long. And then you see all this stuff that's out there, Mahomes coming over to him and lifting the jacket off his head and goes, man, keep your head up, man. We're going to win this thing. Like, this guy is just like, I mean, if you're going to make this a Hollywood script, I don't know that there's ever been an actor that could play Patrick Mahomes, more convincing than what Patrick Mahomes is.
Right.
And the type of leader that he is. And how nothing seems to ever faze this kid.
No, it is truly phenomenal. But let's start our breakdown in the NFC. a tale of two halves, Baldy. You look at that. I don't know what the hell Mike Pettine was thinking at the end of the first half, and you see Scotty Miller get back there for an end zone, for a touchdown, I'm sorry, in the end zone, and you get it up to 28-10, and you're thinking, well, I wonder how Brady and Bruce Arians are going to handle this, and they decide to chuck it around on third down, and Brady makes a couple passes he'd want back, and now they've turned him over three times, and now we got a ball game, and then here it comes right back on the Packers coaching staff again, right at the end of the game, like it was at the end of the first half. And this time they decide to kick a field goal, which I'll never for the life of me figure out. And now Aaron Rodgers is on the sidelines the rest of the game. Now Aaron Rodgers is hinting pretty strongly that he might have one eye somewhere other than Green Bay. Life comes at you fast in the NFL, Baldy.
It does, but it's all about, you know, decision-making. And in the moment, can you make the right decisions? And so, you know, if you go back to the end of that first half, I mean, even when Tampa is driving the final minute, they've got a fourth and four, and they go for it. You know, they throw it to Fournette. He gets the first down. And then they're thinking about a couple of different scenarios, with 8 seconds to go, and they take the timeout. And Aaron's like, hell, I mean, look, there's no other quote that's more attributable than Bruce Arians than no risk it, no biscuit. And that was – that's who they are. And so this whole game, it goes from 14 to 10 to 28 to 10 in a total of a minute and 6 seconds. You throw the touchdown to Scotty Miller, all right, instead of kicking a field goal or punting or whatever else you were thinking about doing. Aaron Rodgers comes out, and on the third down of the opening drive of the third quarter, I don't know how Sean Murphy Bunting caught that ball and the play that he made. And then the very next play, Arians goes play action, touchdown, Cam Brate. You go 14-10, 28-10. All right, so that's one switch in that game where the game just completely flipped. But if you just go to the fourth and eight at the 8-yard line with the league's MVP, I'll never understand that call because the 3 points does you no good whatsoever. You still need a touchdown to win.
Yep.
So even if you go for it on fourth and eight and don't get it, you still have to stop them, whether you kick the field goal or you don't kick the field goal. So if you stop them, presumably at the, you know, in that range of the 8-yard line, you're going to get good field position to go attempt one more shot at the end zone. So I don't understand any of that, what Matt LaFleur was doing.
Nope.
And I don't even understand Aaron Rodgers signing off on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it kind of defies credulity, Baldy, because you're surrendering time, taking time to kick that field goal and taking time to kick the ball off. You're surrendering field position, and you're giving Bruce Arians a full playbook instead of having him backed up in his own eight or whatever and probably just running three times, right? I mean, even Bruce Arians has to be judicious about what he calls in a scenario like that. I don't get it. I understand Aaron Rodgers being frustrated by it. Aaron Rodgers waited 3 years, right? Took 3 years off his career sitting behind Brett Favre. I'm sure in his mind he felt he was the better quarterback for at least a couple of those years. And now on the back end, you know, he sees them take a quarterback to replace him rather than somebody who could have helped him win this game. He's seeing guys drop 2-point conversions and make some mental errors at critical times. Not that Rodgers played a perfect game. I don't know about you, Baldy, but I think anybody who's pretending that this isn't real or that Aaron Rodgers might not be able to get his way out of Green Bay, I think grossly underestimates the power of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, if he just looked at the other side, okay, and what Tom Brady has done, okay, at age 43, and you look at what Tom Brady played with the last 2 years in New England and what he's playing with right now, you go,
night and day.
Is there a scenario out there where I could go join a team that's ready-made, right? That's everything's in place. They just need me to run the ship, that I couldn't do it, that I couldn't show Green Bay, like what kind of, I mean, just the way Brady's sticking it to the Patriots right now, that Aaron Rodgers can't do the same thing and have more fun. Because let's face it, with receivers, I mean, I don't understand how they missed a layup, you know, on that drive to Devontae Adams against Carlton Davis. I mean, he wins off the line. I mean, it's a right-handed layup for me and you, Jason.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, But everybody else, I mean, Lazard was bad. He missed assignments. St. Brown was bad. The core around him was not good. He made those guys all year long. And, I know Aaron Rodgers could play probably a little bit better, but his receivers didn't help him. But you're right. I mean, right now, Tom Brady couldn't have gone to a – and we were all kind of a little bit questioning going to Tampa. Sure. But you look at it now and you go, this was by far the best situation he'd gone to. I mean, he did his homework, credit Tom Brady. But Aaron Rodgers has to look at this and go, man, there might be a better situation for me. And if Tom Brady can do it in a COVID world, quarantine, I know I could fit in right now like the designated hitter and go back clean up 14 and get us right back to where we are right now.
No doubt about it. And I think, again, people who are trying to pretend that this is not a thing don't know Aaron Rodgers very well and don't understand the magnitude of the situation.
I mean, he's the one that opened up all this conversation.
Yes.
And he knew what he was doing. It wasn't just the heat of the moment, the emotion of it. It's obviously been on his mind. And so that's what you do in those kind of meandering press conferences. It's been weighing on his mind. And now that it's over, the finality, the realization that sudden death hit him, like that's what's coming out.
Yeah. Well, and he also knows that they're probably going to lose Aaron Jones, right? And Bakhtiari's coming off a major surgery, and that happened late in the year. And, you know, he knows they're going to lose some pieces on defense, Preston Smith. You know, Baldy, when you go out and spend all the money they did 2 years ago, the real – you pay the piper 3 years later. None of these deals are more than 2 or 3 years, right? And now you start looking at your cap situation. Oh, wait, and the cap might be flat, but it's certainly not going to jump the way it did before. Yeah, I think the Aaron Rodgers story is one we are going to be talking about a lot this offseason. But how about the GOAT, Baldy? Not his best second half by any stretch of the imagination, but he still has the ball in his hand with the game on the line. He still finds a way to win, to just keep winning at a rate in a way that no one has approximated by a country mile in the history of this game. It's absolutely staggering. And for him to be the first quarterback to host a Super Bowl in his own stadium, like, of course, right? Like, if that's ever going to happen, of course it'll be Tom Brady in his first year in the NFC with a new team in a pandemic. Sure.
He's Robert Redford in The Natural. Every scenario, just falls his way. I mean, when they need to play most at the end, who does he go to? He goes to Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, he catches one pass, but the most important pass of the postseason, to really put the game on ice. I was talking to him, just kind of texting back and forth with Ryan Jensen, the center, who had a good game.
Yes.
He was like, look, we didn't play our best football, but here we are. But I just remember – I was at a football camp with them in Dallas back in July, Jason, about 2 weeks before the start of camp. And so, I'm doing some, I'm there kind of as one of the hosts of the camp, whatever, but we do some interviews, whatever. So kind of promote the camp. And so I sit down with Ryan. So, I'm talking about the camp, but eventually I'm going to get to Brady and he knows it. So he's kind of like, he's holding his smile. He's a, Ryan. I mean, he's a great guy.
Yes.
And, real affable. So I get to Brady and he goes, well, it's about time you get to him, Baldy. I go, well, what's your experience so far? He goes, we're doing like these kind of impromptu workouts. I'm getting a lecture every day, Baldy, on the snap. Like I've been snapping my whole life.
Right.
But he's telling me things about the shotgun snap, when it's wet outside, where he wants the towel on my back to be. Like I'm getting dissertations on the snap. And I just think somehow somebody, Jason, I mean, I don't know how it's going to come out, but we want to just open up his football brain and just see how it operates and all the things that he thinks about that other people have probably never given thought to, even the great ones. And that's just the level of detail in how he leads and how he gets everybody to follow is just really – it's just one of those things that we're all kind of dying to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is going
to
be
he loves being the general and they love working for him. I mean, it's just clear. Devin White, the whole group. I mean, they know they've got the best leader available in their house every day. And he can't help himself but to make everybody better.
Well, and let's talk about that other side of the ball for a minute, because they have proven to be a very opportunistic defense. We know the linebackers can fly around pretty much anybody. And Baldy, I remember talking about this when the Tennessee Titans lost Luan, and you're like, at some point that probably catches up to you. And the Ravens lose Ronnie Stanley, and Zeus is doing a great job on the left side, but man, who's on the right side? That probably catches up to you. Packers lose Bakhtiari. That definitely caught up to them on Sunday. They were getting torn up at the point of attack by a Bucs team that doesn't have to bring a whole lot of numbers to get home.
They can get there with four. Vita Vea made a little difference in there, getting him back. You know, when you watch JPP, I mean, he's in his 10th year.
Yeah.
I mean, he took the – helped take the – when the Giants went to the Super Bowl in 2011, I thought he was as good a defensive lineman as it was in football. And to watch his movement now, you know, he's going up against his old coach, Steve Spagnuolo from the Giants. He had him there for a little bit. But, you know, when you go and you watch him right now, his movement – looks awful, an awful lot like it did in 2011. You know, when he was just, you know, getting 16 and a half sacks in this league. And then Shaq Barrett on the other side. I mean, you don't get 19 and a half sacks the year before and not have skills. And so they torch, you know, Wagner and Billy Turner on the edges. And really, you know, even to see Aaron Rodgers almost caught by surprise a couple of times. I mean, he usually has that radar up, and his GPS system is as good
he's
as anybody.
Getting rid of the ball, yeah.
In his helmet, about getting rid of the ball or feeling that pressure in the backside, and he never even felt it. It was so fast. So, I mean, they blitzed very little. A little bit of Sean Murphy bunting coming off the edge. Jamel Dean came that one time and tipped the ball on a deep throw. But other than that, I mean, they're a front four-based defense. And I've said this now for weeks, Jason, but I think if I had to start a defense around one player in the NFL right now, it'd be Devin White. It's his instincts, his speed, his violence that he plays the game with. That's the whole – his ability to cover. It's his whole understanding of the game that shows up constantly. And it's a credit to Todd Bowles that he recognizes his ability to be able to do things. Like, if you blitz Sean Murphy bunting off the slot, Jace, like, Devin White can replace – he can replace the slot defender from the middle linebacker position. And that means covering Devontae Adams sometimes or Aaron Jones. I mean, you know, like he's just a special player. And it's not to knock. I mean, Levante David, we all think that he's been underappreciated. Yeah. But that tandem is really good. And look, I mean, they've got seven takeaways in the postseason, right? And they've all led to touchdowns. Or six of the seven takeaways have led to touchdowns. So that's a credit to the Tampa offense that when they get an opportunity, an extra at bat, they're finishing in the paint right now.
Yeah.
And some of that is Bruce Arians, some of that is Brady, but they take advantage of those turnovers right now.
Yeah, they do. And Baldy, the Chiefs, when they hit their full stride, when they hit their fifth gear, Nobody else has that gear. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, yards after the catch, forget about it. Kelsey was uncoverable the entire game. Patrick Mahomes, that toe didn't seem to bother him at all. There are superlatives after superlatives after superlatives to go around. And I'm sure we'll talk about this in more depth next week. But I do look at the state of that offensive line coming out of that game and say, okay, like now you got a bunch of seventh rounders starting. You know, now you're without both your tackles, and Tardif opted out, and all of a sudden that depth has really been compromised. And that to me will be fascinating, how that unit holds up, and maybe how much Andy Reid decides to just stay balanced, to just run the ball, to just help that quarterback and line out a little bit, because it could be a thing, at least in my eyes.
I agree. Look, I mean, Eric Fisher, torn Achilles. The guy's been a rock out there at left tackle and just battles all the time. But they have gone through all their depth. I mean, you see Wisniewski that, you know, I mean, I love Stefan Wisniewski. He's won a couple Super Bowls now in different places, Kansas City, Philadelphia. He's a warrior. But, you know, he's at the very end right now. And they're plugging him in and, You know, I mean, Remmers is bouncing right side, left side, and you know, he's at the end.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just nothing but free agents and barbed wire and, you know, bail in, you know, some scotch tape holding it together right now. And so can Mahomes just overcome all that? He has so far. His ability to scramble, extend, play Fran Tarkenton, Roger Staubach. I mean, anybody that's ever played that position that we love to watch move. I mean, his movement is second to none in this business. And his ability to take care of the ball under pressure has been unbelievable. But this is going to be a different beast because of their front four in Tampa and the speed that they have. It is a very good secondary. And they were hurt too. I mean, to see them with backup safeties in there and really to see the MVP of the league not be able to exploit, you know, Adams back there, you know, and so it's really been remarkable on both sides.
Yeah, it has. And we talked a lot about Josh Allen this year, Baldy, and rightfully so. Amazing year, kid, probably the most improved player in the NFL. In fact, I don't even know if I need the qualifier, probably. But he was human in the playoffs, Baldy. You know, he had a slow start against the Colts. He hit a few big plays in the second half. Baltimore was all dink and dunk, one play over 20 yards, and this was an explosion offense, right? That's how they lived and died. You know, they didn't run the ball much. And then the only big plays they really got against the Chiefs were when we kind of got into garbage time late in the second half. He ends up with a 94 QB rating for the playoffs, sacked 8 times more than anybody else. A lot of those sacks are on him. One interception, it could have been a lot more than that. You know, he got away with a lot of stuff. I felt like it was a learning experience for Josh Allen about what it's like, that grind weekend after weekend after weekend in January.
Well, you know, at each level that you rise in the playoffs, from wild card weekend to the divisional to the championship series, the competition just gets better. And whatever weaknesses you have just get exploited. I mean, just their inability to get it to Stephon Diggs was almost alarming because of how regular they were able to get it to him during the regular season. But, you know, I'm watching Lajarius Sneed and I'm watching Bashaud Breeland. They know every route that's coming. They're beating him to the routes, you know, last week. And then, you know, Spags' ability to pressure a quarterback is really very different than almost everybody else. I mean, he'll use his corners and safeties, whether it's Matthew or Lajarius Sneed or Sorensen, because all he cares about is speed to the quarterback. And so it's not linebackers that come. And all you're looking to do is just speed up the process of whatever they're trying to do. And so he understands that. And so to get Lajarius Sneed on that big sack of 15 yards or Tyrann Mathieu coming off the edge and really doing a good job of disguising what he's doing until the last second and he comes free and you get intentional grounding. They didn't have to blitz a lot, but when they did, it was really effective. And their whole secondary, it's really an amazing study. You know, whether it's Juan Thornhill or Sorensen or Tyrann Mathieu or Bashaud Breeland. I mean, you just go through a list of them. They're either guys that have been given up on other places like Bashaud Breeland. You know, and it was re-signed this year for $1 million tender, you know, veteran basic minimum. You know, you go through the list of them. You know, Tyrann Mathieu has been given up on and, you know, what happened in
Houston. A couple places now.
And, you know, here he is. He's the quarterback back there. He's probably as smart as any defensive back in this league. And, you know, they take these guys, Charvarius Ward, they take these guys and they have just molded them. It's not a great defensive front. Chris Jones is a beast. But Frank Clark hasn't had he's not a difference maker right now. He's a good player. But, I mean, it's not like they have this wicked pass rush and the secondary benefits from it. I mean, they play a lot of press man coverage. They're very good at what they do. They've got very good technique. They're protected on the back end. It helps that their offense, you know, can just, you know, put up score after score after score. But, you know, they were the star of the show, was the secondary of the Chiefs, you know, in that game.
Yeah, they managed, according to the NFL, Baldy, to pressure Josh Allen on 47.4% of his dropbacks including 83.3% of his dropbacks on third down, most in the NFL playoffs in 10 years. And the one guy I thought individually had so much to do with that was Chris Jones. And we could argue whether he's had as great of a season this year as last year on a week-in, week-out basis. But you talk about a guy who can just wreak havoc from the inside and really kind of disrupt your whole offensive line with his play. When he brings it and it's his day, he seems unstoppable at times.
Well, I mean, you know, like a lot of great defensive linemen, they just know when the game is in the balance and when it's their turn. They don't have to make a play every single play, but they got to know when the game is teetering on the brink. And his ability to go beat, you know, Feliciano clean, he won his one-on-one battles when he had to. And if you leave him one-on-one, he's going to win. I mean, there's not very few guys that can stop that power. And by the way, if you need defense linemen, just go to Mississippi State. I mean, you know, they have them every year there. But he's a difference maker. And that's why that inside pressure is more valuable than the guys that can scream off the edge, because most quarterbacks know how to avoid that, escape that. But it's when you can't step up, from that pressure that's coming right in your face, that gives you the most problems.
So, Baldy, we are down now to the final two. Do you have any sort of early impressions of this game? Some under-the-radar guys who you think we might end up talking a whole lot about as we get closer to this thing?
Well, I mean, you just watch. I don't know how right now Todd Bowles is going to match up. You know, they had no, they played in week 12 and it's a long time ago. But there's certain things. I mean, they had no answer for Tyreek Hill. None. I mean, I think he had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter.
Yes.
You know, 75 yard touchdown, 44 yard touchdown. They had no answer for Tyreek Hill. Nobody has an answer right now for Kelce. I mean, he's torching this league at a record rate that we've never seen any tight end ever do this before. The targets, the catches. If Mahomes scrambles, his first look is to Kelce. He just has this uncanny ability. It's like a boxer in the middle of the ring, just parrying a punch. He just knows exactly where the soft spot is in the zone, and Mahomes just knows where he's going. Like, they have incredible – so those two guys, I mean, you can go literally up and down the field on – with those two guys, not to mention what Mecole Hardman did when he was given the opportunity. So that's the challenge for Tampa's defense, is not to let Tyreek Hill do that in what he did, and how quickly he was able to win his matchups the last time. That being said, I like the Tampa offensive line a great deal. Tristan Wirfs is an amazing player. Just an amazing – I mean, he's as good a rookie offensive lineman as I've seen in a long time. I mean, the guy is as steady as can be and does not get beat and does things technique-wise that I don't see veteran – in fact, I sent a clip to Lane Johnson yesterday because of what he did on a pass rush that I don't see veteran Pro Bowl players do. But anyways, I do like the way that they're playing right now. I don't know. Like, I'm leaning towards Tampa at this point.
Interesting.
I'm leaning towards Tampa. I think that, you know, the receivers did not have a great day. Obviously, you know, Godwin dropped early and Evans had drops and Brady was off a little bit in that third quarter. But I think 2 weeks to get ready. I think the way that – I mean, I think both teams will be aggressive, will attack fourth downs. They're not kicking field goals at the two-yard line. That's not going to happen. So, you know, I think that we have a chance of, without making any predictions yet, we'll wait till next week. But I think we have a chance of having a real high-scoring game. I'm not going to predict Philadelphia, New England, circa Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. Last team with the ball probably wins. But I think we can see this game getting into the 30s for both teams.
Well, and Tom Brady will have seen – not that you can account for what Spags does, because he will change it from week to week, but he's seen Spags defenses on the biggest stage before. I think he has an understanding of those concepts. And they have developed a much more robust screen game the last 6-8 weeks than they had, you know, the first 12 weeks or so leading up to their bye. I wonder how much that plays a part in maybe the Bucks being a little more methodical and how they dissect that thing. We know there's still going to be no risk it, no biscuit, right? But I wonder how they go about solving that sort of Rubik's Cube and if they kind of take a little bit more of a patient, reasoned approach when Spags is bringing the heat.
Well, I think he's going to have to do it. I mean, they're going to have to come, you know, and, you know, Brady is as good as anybody at deciphering what's coming and where to go with the ball. But still, I mean, you know, you go back to the Giants and their ability to stop them on the road to perfection and how they hit him early in that game.
Yes.
You know, with the front and how they get off the field in third downs. Then you look at how Brady just carved up Green Bay in that first half on third downs. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, it didn't matter what the down and distance was. I mean, the ball was – it was perfection. And you could just see the look of just intensity that Brady had on those downs and just how perfect he was to stay on the field and keep the ball moving and keep the chains moving. It will be a really good chess match between those two, Spags and Brady, and their ability to move him off that spot, because unlike Mahomes, when he gets off that spot, you know, generally good things are not going to happen.
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you. And how much do each of these guys run the ball? You know, they'll probably do it just enough to keep you balanced, but does somebody break off a big play or something in the run game that we didn't really focus on that ends up being one of those plays that decides the game? We got plenty to talk about next week when we break that thing down in a little more detail. But again, I just wanted to give another shout out before we get out of here, Baldy, to everybody who played a role in making this season come together and figuring out these protocols on the fly and the players who adhered to them. And it really is astonishing that, you know, we had week three, right? We had the Titans have to go a couple of weeks, play a game later than they should have. We had to move around some bye weeks. We had a game on a Wednesday afternoon. We had a game on a Tuesday night. But by and large, Baldy, they played the games when they were set to be played. And that blew my mind. It will always blow my mind.
I think there's been 268 games played so far, Jason, and I think they're batting 100 right now. And I mean, I thought that we would miss some games. I was ready to extend the season a week and all the different parameters that were kind of built into the schedule. But Troy Vincent was determined, you know, and Roger Goodell was determined to get this season in. It was important, I think, for the health of our country and to use it as a way that we can move beyond with, you know, with science and safety and protocols and all that kind of stuff. But really, the players had to buy into it. And for the players to buy into it, especially when we're talking about, we've all know that this league has had its share of knuckleheads and guys that do some really dumb things. And to see players buy in and do it with the maturity that, you know, I don't know that you can expect 22, 23, 24-year-old kids to do it. They've done it. And so leadership from the very top all the way down, it always starts at the top. Hats off to them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tremendously well done, the NFL, the NFLPA, all involved. Well, this has been the latest edition of Baldy's Breakdowns. Please rate, review, comment, give us feedback on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast goodness, and subscribe as well. We will be back next week to break down the Super Bowl in depth and then start transitioning to what I can already promise you, Baldy, is going to be an absolutely bonkers offseason that will include just as much quarterback craziness and zaniness as last year, and perhaps even more so. So you're going to want to stick here with us at Baldy's Breakdowns through the offseason. But we hope everybody enjoys this bye weekend, and we will talk to you next week.